On a very smooth and a very soulful evening. Welcome to Night Tracks Radio, of course. I'm your humble host, Mr. Radio Extraordinaire. Yes, the teddy bear. Tonight's artist spotlight, gifted singer, songwriter, who puts the S in soul. Lord have mercy. Super talented Charles Gator Moore is joining us today as we get into his career, what he has on track for us, and what kind of love and actually soothing R&B he's going to bring to the show. Brother, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks a lot for having me, man. I appreciate it.
No, man, you know, it's been a long time, man. It's like you were kind of missing in action for a while, and people were looking for your music and everything, and it's so good. I know you released some music back in 2022, but you know how the industry is today, man. People are constantly looking for that quick fix. And one of the things I wanted to ask you, you're an exceptional songwriter. What is the main difference from a conception standpoint, being a solo artist instead of being involved in a group?
Well, the difference is, you know, with being a solo artist, of course, you know, with being in a group, you know, you have to kind of like share ideas and bounce off ideas, you know, off your other group members and everything like that. And with being a solo artist, it's you know, it's your story. You know what I'm saying? So you get a chance to tell your story versus, you know, like I say, being in a group, you know, and having to bounce off each other and you know, kind of like share ideas, like, and share experiences that each other may have been through, you know what I'm saying, to come up with inspiration and stuff like that. Say, yeah, you know, when I was back in high school or back when I was back on the basketball court, I went through the same thing. Or when I met, you know, my first love for the first time, you know, I had the same kind of feelings, you know, that warm feeling inside and everything like that. So, you know, as far as like being a solo artist, you know, you get a chance to express yourself, you know what I'm saying? And it's all about your experience and the things that you've been through in life and, you know, or whatnot, that you get a chance to express, you know what I'm saying? So that's the difference.
Your music has always had a sense or a high level of transparency where you've been able to implement a lot of your own personal journey in your music. And the way that you sing, when you touched upon Sam Cooke's A Change Is Gonna Come, it seems like you took a raw part of your emotion and your personal experiences, your personal journey, and you were able to implement it into that song and make it your own. And I want to ask you, what was your thought process when you initially got in the studio and you wanted to record the song?
Well, it was at a time in my career when I was, you know, I was recording some different songs. Me and Mike, we had been recording some songs. He was flying me out to L.A. and we had got wind that Tyler Perry was working on the Daddy's Little Girls movie, and it was going to be an opportunity for me to be a part of it. So what actually happened is we had recorded some songs and we submitted the songs when the opportunity came about. And, you know, the songs were just, you know, they didn't really fit the vibe of the movie. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, we kind of like, we thought the opportunity was missed. So what happened was they called me like, it was like, I guess you could say it was like in the fourth quarter. You know what I'm saying? while they were working on the soundtrack. And what had happened was the guy that did the A&R for the movie soundtrack, he knew that Sam Cooke was my favorite singer. And they were working on the Sam Cooke record, and they had another singer actually in the studio working on the record or whatever, but he sounded like my man from After Seven. So you can imagine, you can imagine, like, you know, my man from After Six, my man from After Seven singing A Change Gonna Come. It wasn't really coming off how they needed to come off. So he called me up. He was like, you know, Gator, man, we're working on the song. I mean, this is the honest to God truth. He was like, you know, Gator, we're working on the song, man. He was like, man, do you think you can go in and record the record? And I was like, yeah, man. I mean, you know. And to be honest, that wasn't like really like my favorite song from Sam Cooke. You know what I'm saying? But I was a fan of his work. So when he told me, you know, I had the opportunity, man, I really I just kind of like, I had like maybe like a day or so to work on it. And I worked out and I kind of just listened to the song over and over and over and over again to really just kind of like I would guess like just kind of like just try to like capture Sam Cooke's spirit on the record, you know, if you will, you know. And when I went to the studio, man, I did it. I probably did like about 10 different takes, you know what I'm saying? And about that 10th take, man, it's what everybody heard, you know what I'm saying? And it was just that passion, and you know, it was an opportunity, you know, like, you know, opportunities are like kind of like far in between, you know, for artists at different times, for songwriters at different times. So I knew it was going to be something big, you know what I'm saying? Because no one had, you know, until I recorded it, and I think Seal recorded it at one time, that I did a remake of Sam Cooke's, you know, A Change Is Gonna Come. So, you know, right. when they placed it in the movie and everything like that, man, it was just such a, you know, when I sent it off, when I sent it back to them after I recorded it, because I recorded it here in Detroit, you know, when I sent it back to them, man, they said Tyler Perry loved it, you know,
man.
And that's what they used it. They put it right in the movie.
You did an exceptional job, man. But you know what? One of the highest compliments that I, for me personally, that I can pay you, we're both 21. We've been around the block several times. And I want to tell you something, man. You remind me, your vocal prowess, you remind me so much of Otis Redding, man. You completely embody his rawness. You really do. But you sing from a place. You have singers, you have vocalists, and you have people that really sing from the heart. They pour their emotion out in their music. And you do that every time you pick up that mic. You have the capability of doing it. And I wanted to ask you, man, having that life of transparency and being able to implement it in your live performances, how much is it therapeutic for you?
Well, for the most part, man, like you said, when I do touch that mic, man, it's because I'm a church boy, of course. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I was raised in the church. I was the youngest of my mother's children. So, of course, I was right there in church with her on her lap, asleep, listening to, you know, the choir singing and everything like that. So, and later on, she passed away when I was 16. And but I did stay in the church, and I sung in the choir for quite a number of years. And through, you know, her passing away and singing in the choir and everything like that, it was kind of like therapeutic, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I was definitely an effective singer in the church at the time when I was singing in the church, like, regularly. And for the most part, man, you know, I'm one of those soul singers who have been through a lot, you know, even at a young age, you know, with my mother passing away at the age of 16 and everything like that, it was like, you know, my whole world kind of like just changed around, you know what I'm saying? It was like finding out, you know, Santa Claus wasn't real, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
To think that, you know, that your parents are going to be here forever, or that people will be here forever. So it's like with me, man, I'm like an emotional singer, you know what I'm saying? To the point to where I move people when I sing, you know, and that was part of my gift that I kind of found in church, you know what I'm saying? By, you know, going through what I was going through, by the time I would get through singing and delivering the message, the people would, you know, catch, you know, would get in the spirit, you know what I'm saying? The preacher would. Yeah, I would, you know, it was at a certain time, man. I would, you know, I couldn't make it through a Sunday without, even if I was sitting in the audience, the preacher, God bless his soul, my preacher, Pastor Reverend Dan Flowers, he passed away some years ago, but he was, man, he was, he used to pray with me when I used to go out of town and, you know, go on my little different adventures as far as like trying to go and get into the music industry. You know, I shared with him my, with my dream and stuff like that. So like I said, I would walk into church, man, and he would be like, hey, you gotta sing my song. You know, you can't leave without singing my song. So, you know, it's definitely a blessing, man. It's a gift, you know what I mean?
Without question. You know, what I've seen, and I can say from my own personal experience, when you have someone that plays such an integral part in your life, like your mother, and when you're going to church, and you're hearing that spirit and you're hearing that word, then you lose someone that loves you unconditionally, good, bad, whatever. This is my baby. when you lose that person, did it at any time in your life, did you start questioning your purpose as far as being an artist and what direction that you wanted to go, where'd you want to take your career to?
Well, for the most part, man, she was, it's crazy because out of everybody in our family, we were the only two that were gifted with this gift of being able to really sing, like truly being able to sing, you know what I mean? So I felt like, you know, with being left with the gift, you know what I'm saying, that I had to do something with it. You know what I'm saying? That was like my whole goal with everything, because she was a really good singer, but due to the fact that she got married and had kids and stuff like that, a lot of times when people have kids and stuff like that, their dreams kind of get pushed to the side. So she was never really able to get back to her dream, or she was never able to. She knew that I could sing because I had a moment with her before she passed away, and it was funny. I sung a Sam Cooke song for called Wonder or whatnot. And she was sitting at the table watching Wheel of Fortune or whatnot, doing some crocheting or whatnot. And I had worked on the song, man. I got up in my room and I worked on the song and I presented it to her. And she was just, I don't really know. It was like the reaction was just like, wow. Like, you know, she was just kind of surprised that because I kind of surprised her with it. So she was just kind of surprised, like, wow, like you can sing, you know what I mean? You know, that was the kind of like the reaction. And it was crazy, man, because she never really got to see me really, really develop. But that was the song I wound up singing at her funeral. Yep.
How have you seen your songwriting elevate from where you are now? We'll go back almost 10 years. How are you seeing your improvement as being a songwriter?
Yeah. Well, for the most part, man, that was the blessing with being on Universal Records. I had a chance to kind of be like an understudy for a guy that already had like a publishing deal, the guy that was in my group or whatever. He had wrote songs for Donnell Jones, Say What, Say What. He had wrote some songs for Rough Ends, some stuff for Tyrese and stuff like that while being in the group. So while he would be in writing sessions with us, because we all collectively together wrote the Transitions album, he would go off and do sessions with other artists, you know what I mean? So, right. You know, with listening to his demos and different things like that, I kind of like was able to like get an idea of what, versus just making a song or just writing a song with making a song that could sound like something that could possibly be on the radio or that like a major artist could sing, you know what I'm saying? It helped me develop my songwriting in that way. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, that was the blessing. It was kind of like the whole Universal deal was kind of like being in college, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know
what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I've heard a lot of artists say that when they, and that's, I think that's one of the things that are missing right now is that the lack of artist development. You don't see that anymore because everyone is going on TikTok or Instagrams. I put the emphasis on TikTok. They make a song or a couple of songs and they end up signing these contracts with these major labels. It's incredible to me. I think the art of being a musician, the art of being a really gifted songwriter somewhere along the way has been lost. And I wanted to ask you, where we are in 2024, what do you want to bring to the table this year? What do you feel that's missing in R&B that you can actually bring back?
Well, I feel like, you know, it needs to be a message in the music. You know what I'm saying? For the most part, like, you know, music doesn't, you know, it's missing a certain feeling. You know what I'm saying? For people, even for younger people, to have that experience in terms of when they're with their girl or when a female is with her guy, you know what I'm saying? They have to listen to old school music to capture, like to set a mood, you know what I'm saying? So the type of music that I've been working on, Hustler by Nature Volume 1 or whatnot, it's more or less like, kind of like, it has a, I want to say like mid-90s feel to it, okay. Early 2000s feel to it, you know, kind of like groove music, you know, unfortunately, you know, certain individuals can't make the type of music that was really like, you know, top 10 back then.
Right.
You know, for the most part. And what happens is it was like a lot of juggernauts. It was like a lot of people in the industry that like kind of had the industry locked down to where like a person like myself, you know, if I came out, it was like, hey, you sound like him, or you're trying to sound right. like this individual. Whereas nowadays, you know, it's a whole new generation of people. So what I want to do is I want to just bring back really great songwriting. And you know how like I was thinking about the other day, like how you know, like at the end of every R&B album, it would be like a gospel song or whatnot.
Right.
And I want to kind of like bring that back to a certain extent. I want to work on some gospel stuff. I don't think that, like, you know, for the most part, I don't want to be categorized as so much. You know, I want to be well-rounded as a artist. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
For the most part, I want to sing songs about like reality. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like what's going on. You know, it's like, for the most part, like, be able to sing a song like that and then be able to sing a song about love or being with my girl. You know what I'm saying? And then also be able to bring a song about, like, with a message. You know what I mean? And it, an underlying message some type of way. Talking about politics or just talking about life itself. You know what I'm saying?
So, well, that's definitely missing in today's music. I mean, it was nothing for you to pick up a Marvin Gaye album, Al Green, Luther Vandross, Teddy Pendergrass, and we've lost that greatly. Man, you know what? I've had a lot of special women that have inboxed me, and the song that really got them was Straight Fucking with on the baby boy soundtrack, man. That sound and that particular song, it really hit home and it resonated with so many people, man. And from that point on, people have been yearning for your music, and you just put out the latest single, of course, is Hustler by Nature. Lord have mercy. What does Hustler by Nature mean to Gator Rock? What does that mean?
Hustler by Nature is basically like a guide to hustling. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, you know, for the most part, what it means to me is like, you know, like for the most part, like the lyric in the song, like I said, every man needs to learn how to hustle at some point in his life. You know what I'm saying?
And it's right. a
statement, because it's like, and hustling is not just, you know, hustling like selling drugs. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can like for the most part, like everybody's first hustle, you know what I'm saying, if you were into that, was like a lemonade stand or something like that, or like shoveling snow, or like newspapers or something like that. Like, to me, that's what, you know, like hustling, like, you know, that's what it is to me. Like, you know, just doing what you got to do in life to survive. You know what I'm saying? Now, you can take it to the next level and you know, have two or three jobs and have a hustle on the side, you know, like even like in the Baby Boy movie, how Tyrese was selling the women's clothes, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's so for me, that's what it's all about, man. It's kind of like a hustler's anthem, you know what I'm saying?
Right. And so, hey, I know some people, like you said, there's different variations to hustle. Some people hustle to stay in the spotlight. Some people hustle so they can disappear. And that's the beautiful thing. they hustle.
Everybody's trying to get that big bag, you know? They can retire, you know what I'm saying?
You know, they just kind of disappear to the, you know, disappear into another region. I talked to my son about that all the time. I said, there's so many ways to hustle. I said, what do you want to do? Do you want to hustle to be seen? Or do you want to be able to hustle so you can disappear and live a comfortable life? But you got to always stand on principle. And that's one thing that you've always done. You've stood on your principle. And I think a lot of times in standing in principle, it costs you a lot, because people in this industry that we call the music business, and I put the emphasis on business, when people stand on principle, you got certain powers of be that don't like that. And I wanted to ask you, all the things that you had to go through or to see the things that are taking place in the music industry today, how does it feel that you have, as far as being an independent artist, and having complete creative control over your music and also the direction. As you said, you don't want to be put in a box. So you have complete control over your career. How does that feel at this point in time in your career?
Well, it's a good time for me in my career because, you know, at a certain time in my career when I was doing a lot of things, Detroit wasn't really popular like that. You know what
right.
I mean? And lately, it's a spotlight on Detroit right now. You know what I'm saying? And so for any artist, you know, a lot of rap artists, you know, you have Sada Baby, you have Peezy, you got Icewear Bezel, you have all these guys, and it's like a lot of revenue is coming through the city. You know what I'm saying? So for the most part, it's like, so where's the R&B? You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I'm like, hey, here I am. You know,
here I am. Here.
And I can still bring it. So it's just like, I know, like, even with John Brown, with his new single, we had a Billboard record that really did good. You got my man, London, what's his name? The one guy with the Marvin Gaye sound.
London. First name is London. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he just brought out a record. So it's a lot of good things that's helped happening, like really good for R&B. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And
right.
Yeah, I feel like it's a good time. It's the timing. You know, it's good for me to come out with some material and to really, like, you know, do my thing or whatever. So yeah, man, I feel really good about, you know, my position and as far as, like, you know, the material that I've worked on, it's really great. It's really good. It's some of the best material that I've worked on. You know, it's kind of like the Transitions Part 2, you know what I'm saying? But without the group, you know what I'm saying? And that was kind of like what was really dope about the Transitions was it was and what which makes the album a classic is the fact that it was just we were uniquely different, you know what I'm saying? Because Mike allowed us to be, you know what I'm saying? And we came up with a sound, you know what I'm saying, that hasn't been quite duplicated, you know what I'm saying? And so that's where you kind of get the whole Hustler by Nature vibe. And even with my new record, Dirty Game, it's just talking about, it's real deep, just talking about life, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Now, Dirty Game, the latest single that you released. You know how we are here in the States. We have a tendency to be greedy and never satisfied, looking for that quick fix. When can we expect an EP from you, man?
Well, Dirty Game, that record is, it'll be available on all digital outlets Monday. And then we got another record called So Good that's coming out at the end of this month. And then I think next month we're going to release, we got like a whole little plan how we're going to roll it out. But the EP is coming this year. It should be coming out like probably within the next couple of months or so. But
okay.
It's all set to roll out, man. And I'm excited. I'm really excited because, like, I feel really confident about the music. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it's really going to be, you know, I feel like I'm in my own lane. Even with the Hustler by Nature record, it's not, you know, I don't really feel like it's a record out there like that right now. You know what I'm saying? You know, so and with it, even with it out being out for like maybe like a year now, it's still new to like a lot of people. So it's really just really connecting with the, you know, like you were saying, just this is the time and the thing. You know what I'm saying? So,
absolutely. Yeah. Timing is everything in today's industry. And you know what? I've always said that the United Kingdom has always had a love affair and a fascination with R&B music. And speaking of that, what do you see as far as touring? Can you foresee yourself this year or in the near future doing some touring, probably possibly going over to the United Kingdom and performing that?
Yeah, well, I went over to London actually right before the pandemic. I went over there and I did it. I did a show. It was myself and my man Big Bug from Today. We was over there doing the show. And you know, it was pretty dope, man. But I definitely see myself touring in the near future, man. Right now, I've been working on the music, you know, and it's really more or less like connecting with the right people.
Right. Man,
really connecting with the right people. I mean, you know, with being independent and everything like that, you know, I've been able to make a lot of noise and really take it to the next level. But, you know, for the most part, man, it's just I'm really just building like a real strong team, you know what I'm saying, at this point. You know what I'm saying? Right. So, you know, for the most part, man, I definitely see myself. I want to be on the right tour, you know what I'm saying, in the right situation.
Right.
That's my goal.
You know? Well, like I've always said, man, bring it to us. We want it raw and we want it shaken, but never stirred. Yes, Lord. We want some real R&B music, something that we can definitely feel, because that's sorely missing in today's industry. And for all the family members out there who are tuning in and the ones that tuned in late, shame on you. But the teddy bear does forgive you being blessed today by a gifted singer, songwriter, of course, Mr. Charles Gardemore, of course. New hit single is out, be available soon. And to get all the pertinent information, make sure you stop by his official website. That's at www.charlesgardemore.com. If you can hop in Doctor Who's time machine and go back 15 years and you had an opportunity to have a conversation with yourself, what are some of the things that you would tell yourself to help you get better prepared for this journey?
I would tell myself, man, to be patient, you know, just to be patient. You know, and for the most part, I have been, but, you know, just continue to be patient, you know, and just enjoy your life, you know what I'm saying, and have fun with this music thing, you know. I've experienced a lot, and I've done a lot with my career, man. I mean, you know, like I said, working on the Transitions album and living in New York. And, you know, a lot of people don't know that Jay Dilla, that was like my best friend or whatnot. Rest in peace to him, by 10. Rest in peace to him, you know, the guys from Slum Village, you know. And so I've had a ball, man, with this music thing, you know what I'm saying? And for the most part, I wouldn't change a thing, you know what I'm saying? You know, for the most part, because I still have my dignity. Still have my self-respect, and I've learned a lot, you know what I'm saying? So for the most part, I'm kind of like a rare, like how you were saying before, like a rare commodity, you know what I'm saying? As far as like whoever I do connect with and whoever I do work with, like on my next trip around the sun or whatnot, it's really going to be a great situation for them, because I know who I am as an artist, you know what I'm saying? I know what direction I'm going in, and I work hard, you know what I'm saying? And so for the most part, I guess I would tell myself, kind of slow down, man, because I was wild. 15 years ago, I was kind of wild now. And I would say, man, I had a lot of opportunities. I really had a lot of opportunities to make things happen in the industry. One thing that I didn't really get a chance to do was really express my art as much as I would have wanted to when I was in a position, because, you know, a lot of times they have like people that write for the artist, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, and I think, you know, not, I mean, just keeping it real, like you said, just keep it real. I think that was part of why certain things didn't happen when I was in the position, because they didn't trust my pen, you know what I'm saying? But it was like, right. Hey, you would have trusted my pen, we might. with my career though, man, I have done, you know, millions of, you know, with the exception of the baby boy, and with the changes gonna come, we've done a lot of views. You know what I mean? A lot. We like you said, we touched a lot of people, and so I'm happy, man. You know where I'm at.
Well, man, I'm happy to have you on the show, man. Been waiting a long time to get you on. This is your home away from home. Whatever you need, send it to the bear. We got you. We'll play and promote whatever you need to happen, man. It's nothing but love, man. It's nothing but, I have nothing but the utmost respect, because, again, I appreciate artists who stand on principle. It's easy to sell yourself out and dingle that little gold chain in front of you and say, hey, a little carrot. All you got to do is sell your soul. And it's like, you didn't do that. And I mean, I'm thoroughly impressed with that. So, hey, listening again, all the listeners and audience out there, again, be sure to stop by his official website. That's at www.charlesgardemore. That will connect you to all his social media outlets. Stop by, Spend some money. Don't tell the teddy bear you have no money. If you can spend $200 on some Air Jordan, I know you can buy some music without question. Brother, thank you so much for blessing us this evening. And whatever you need, don't hesitate to let us know, all right?
Appreciate you, man. Thanks a lot for having me, Teddy Bear.
God bless. The super talented Charles Gator Moore here on Night Tracks Radio. I want to thank everyone for tuning in and allowing the Teddy Bear to help you tune out all the negativity on a smooth Saturday evening. If you're on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook Live, we want to thank you for tuning in. And for those who missed the interview, no need to fear. We got you covered. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's at Night Tracks Radio Podcast Music. That's on YouTube. You can catch up with us on TikTok, of course, too. This is where we are, family, social media. That's with two X's. That's Night Tracks Radio, same handle. On Instagram, and the artist formerly known as Twitter, which is called X now, go figure. It's the same handle and also as well as Facebook. Want to send out a very special thank you to the incredibly talented and captivating sister. Yes, Lord. Sarah Day, thank you, my love, for joining us yesterday. Thank you so much. And to all that's tuned in, thank you, too, for blessing and honoring the show. And as always, keep it soulful here on Night Tracks Radio.